Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back, After Buzzers. We are here with another episode of The Real Housewives of Potomac. And tonight, we have something special for you because we have newbie Candace in the house. Well, virtually, but she's still here and she's got a lot to talk about. So tune in right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You know the glow, starting in front row. Shades always, these bitches can't look low. Bob, sleek, cheek, petite, I fit those. In vogue, I do what you can't know. I'm runway, you know they a sideshow. I'm first page, amazing.
Yeah. Welcome back, guys. Isn't it good to be back in the studio again?
Yummy. It is feeling yummy tonight with a little azalea to start us off.
There you go.
That always amps you up, right?
This is how you start a show.
I feel like I'm in a club.
The tongue has to be out.
You're like, let's get a little bit more of it.
Come on, Anna Wintour.
I'm like vulgar right now.
You are.
Honey.
Welcome back, guys. We are here with another episode of AfterBuzz TV, and we are recapping one of our favorite housewives shows. It's The Real Housewives of Potomac. And I'm your boy, DJ Richie Scott. Who else do we have in the house with us tonight?
Oh my God, my least favorite part of the show is that dancing part in the middle. But I do go hard for Azalea, so it's okay. I'm Ronnie Jr. Let's start the show. Yes.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm Nigeria Manal.
And we're back. Listen, we've got some fun stuff for you guys tonight. I'm excited. Okay, I've been excited about this since I found out that we were going to be speaking with this young lady.
Okay.
It doesn't happen.
We're going to be talking to Candace Dillard in just a few moments. So you guys, don't go anywhere. You can't move. You can't even like leave. You can't blink because she'll be up in 2 seconds. But first, we got to get some general thoughts about this episode. What did you guys think about this episode?
I think it was highly known as the emotional episode in a very good way.
Right.
I wrote in my notes that the Ashley therapy scene and the way they rolled that out and the music, the instrumental that kicked in, I felt a vibration myself. Like, I had to turn the TV off because I was wondering, like, what is this sound that's connecting? So it was just done very well. Monique's miscarriage, sharing that is a challenging thing. And that and Karen gave us some really good stuff. I mean, I see you clearly. You know, it's good. It's Karen. She's our number two on the show. Yeah, how'd you feel?
I would have to agree
with you. I see
you
clearly.
I think that the therapy, the fact that Ashley is broadcasting that she's going to therapy, it's amazing. I'm in therapy myself. I feel like it's such a great thing. I feel like we all could use someone to talk to.
Yeah.
We get to these points in our lives where we have everything just everything bottled up. And when we're able to express that to someone, we can dig deeper and find out where certain things are coming from. Also, to touch on the Monique, her and her husband, I think it's beautiful. I think that they represent such an amazing dynamic, and it gives us something positive to look forward to. For those of us who might want a partner.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Her and Chris, I love those guys.
I also wanted to go...
I want a partner.
Everyone on the table, we want to step our game up for sure and live the Monique life, I'm sure.
Okay.
No, but I wanted to mention too, like the concept of therapy and why people think it's like not good or
people
you have to be broken. I challenge like a CEO of a company to also get into therapy because now you're in a situation where people are only reacting to you positively because of your merit.
Right.
So I think therapy's good.
Here's
and Ashley showed a really good story.
We're only individually one person. We can have a million insights as we want. That doesn't mean we can see everything clearly. Sometimes we might need someone else's perspective. Sometimes we might need someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Sometimes we might feel consumed with all the things that's going on in our lives. So I think it's amazing that she's going to therapy. I think it's amazing that she's showing it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I love the episode. For whatever reason, I was really intrigued by it. I mean, there was almost like a little shift in the storylines because, I mean, you know, for much of the first couple of episodes, we've been really focused on Karen's tax issues, which, you know, I mean, it provided us with some serious yet some insane moments.
Yeah. Totally insane, honey. Totally.
But you know what is so funny to me is that Karen never ceases to bring this comedic element to everything that she does. And I don't know if I'm laughing with her or if I'm laughing at her, but I kind of feel like I'm laughing with her. Because what I love is, and I, you know, we did get into some serious moments tonight, mm-hmm. but there was also some playful, fun moments, you know, seeing Candace with her sister, seeing Candace with her mom and with Chris, and then right. also seeing Karen and Giselle kind of go at it, you know, and to me that was hilarious.
And speaking of Giselle, is she glowing or what? I think
absolutely. She's been glowing. She was on Watch What Happens Live yesterday, and she's just hitting home runs, you know, yeah, like I always say, yeah. And
she's glowing with every hue.
The Target, you know, launch is going to happen. The Target.com first, then the actual Target in stores in May. So, fantastic. And we all know she's my favorite cast member. We know. So she's number one. So get on the train, baby.
Well, you know what? speaking of jumping on trains, we got to talk about Maria real quick. You know, she has a podcast. And I want you guys to tell everybody about that right before we talk to Candace. Give us a little bit of information about what Maria is doing.
Okay, Maria has a podcast called Conversations with Maria Menounos. And on a podcast, what exactly does she speak about?
So basically, it's the SiriusXM program that mm-hmm. she does, Conversations with Maria Menounos. Mm-hmm. She is the creator of AfterBuzz. So she's the reason that we're all kind of here
absolutely.
Having these conversations about Potomac. The show every Friday will go on to a podcast edition. It's downloadable. You're supposed to click and subscribe and, you know, kind of be interactive in that way. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic podcast. The name is simple to remember, Conversations with Maria Menounos. She's written books and kind of inspired women on health and even mental health, too. So yeah. I encourage everyone to give it a listen. Do I need to say the name one more time, or did you memorize it, Mr.
Conversations
Richie?
With Maria Menounos.
Oh, you're hired. Yes. Yes, Richie.
And there it is.
Let her be the big sister that you've always wanted, guys. Okay. So make sure to check her out. And speaking of big sisters, we got a big sister in the house right now. Let's get online with Miss Candace. Hi.
Hi. See me?
Yes, we can hear you.
We see you glowing, sweetie. We see you glowing.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. You're looking amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks. Look, I was in the house all day today. This was all for you. So
you know what?
Aw.
The space because it's all for you guys.
We appreciate that. We really, really appreciate it. So welcome to the Housewives family.
Thank you, I think.
How are you feeling about being one of the newest housewives?
And youngest too.
And I'm the second youngest. Ashley is the baby and then and then me and then Monique. Well, I'm clutching my pearls, girl, cuz it was definitely a whirlwind. I was kind of thrown into it and I purposely came in with no expectations because I wanted to just be a sponge and take it all in mm-hmm. and really get to know these ladies. But when I tell you, it was not an easy task. They made it hard, as I should have expected. But I really, I just wanted to go in with nothing but raw Candace.
Right.
And I'm proud to say that I did do that. Regardless of how they felt at the end, she did that.
Oh, well, we'll have to find out what you're talking about in a second. I want to know first, how did you get put onto this show? Like, when I see your storyline, a lot of times I think, I wonder if she would be more suited on like a TLC network for one of the wedding shows or something of that nature. I'm wondering, how did you end up on Potomac? Was this your first choice? Did they seek you? Give me that backstory on how you ended up in this particular group, specifically because of your age.
Yes. So it's funny. I knew Ashley from the pageant circuit, of course. We both competed around one another. And that was really my entrance into the group, was me meeting her and knowing her through the pageant world. And as you saw in the second episode, that was my first time sort of being fully integrated into the group, was at her Bliss brunch. And outside of that, I did watch the show prior to being on the show through Ashley. And I remember the first season, of course, I was watching because I'm a native, or not a native, but I am local to the DMV, to the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. Mm-hmm. And I went to Howard University, HU. So yay. I lived here for 12 years. And so, of course, when I saw Potomac and I knew Ashley, it was like, oh, let me sit down with my popcorn and watch this. What's going on? And I had to support because it was in my area. And of course, you want to see, you know, where are they going? What are they doing? Who are they with? What's the tea? And I remember saying to Chris, my fiance, this, like, why they didn't call me? Why am I not on the show? Put it out there into the universe is what I say. And it happened.
Absolutely.
Well, we are happy that you joined. Having moved to Los Angeles from D.C. myself, I totally support that. I'm so glad that you actually joined because I feel like you offer a fresh perspective. And I think that when we first saw you on the screen, we all agreed that you really lit the screen up. Like,
I totally agree.
We said she's hitting home runs every scene. Yeah.
Particularly.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, Ronnie.
Hey, baby, how are you? Ronnie Jr., that's the name.
Yes. So my stepdad's name is Ronnie, so I'll never forget you.
Oh.
But I have a bone to pick with you, Ronnie.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay, I can't wait to hear it. I'm sure it's not that salty.
Let's hear it.
Well, can we get to that now?
I have one question. This is your interview.
You can do whatever you want.
I actually have one question.
Okay, yes.
So being the newest member on the show, who would you say out of all the cast members was probably the hardest one to get closest with or the hardest to crack?
Well, use your imagination.
Okay, so she's coy.
It was definitely a challenge getting to know everyone, I think, in some aspects. And I said a lot to
my friends
that I felt like none of these women are like any of the people that I know in my close circle.
Yeah.
So breaking into this new group where everybody is dynamic, everybody has their own drum that they beat to, everybody's living their own special lives, it was definitely a challenge to get to know everyone in some way, shape, or form. But I definitely connected a lot with Ashley, of course, because I knew her before.
Right.
Monique is bae, as I say. Right. I love Monique. And Karen, surprisingly, I was not expecting to connect with Karen the way that I did, but she's like, she's so fabulous. She's hilarious. And I feel like she's the more seasoned version of Candace.
Ah. Oh, so like you aspire to be kind of in that same playing field as Karen. Okay, I can see that.
I aspire to be Candace, the best version of Candace. But Karen is definitely someone that I could see myself modeling a lot of my comedic timing and my resilience after. She's just a dynamic woman.
She does have that comedic timing down.
Oh yeah, she sure does.
She will get you together with a good laugh. Okay.
Real fast.
What did you think about watching the press conference though? Because you were the only one who wasn't there, but I feel like it's a weird thing because you're part of this group of girls, women, but you're not at that, which will now be known as like one of the most unique reality TV scenes we've ever seen. What was your take from that?
I had my popcorn, honey. I was just like, what is going on? And it's funny because when you're filming with everyone, of course you hear about certain things. So I had heard about the press conference with no press. And I was like, what the hell is this? And then seeing it is like, oh my God, this is really like a press conference with no press. This lady had peanuts and water at a table. Like, what? Are we in jail? What's going on? It was hilarious, though. And I applaud Karen for having the gusto and the gall to allow these women into her personal story in that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have had the courage to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot of guts to say, okay, I'm here. I'm laying it all out. Mm-hmm. What are your questions? And she handled them. And they were coming at her. They do that to me next episode. So I think Karen and I have that in common. But they really came at her. And I applaud her for really taking it by the reins and slapping them all down.
Can you tell us about this relationship with your mother? We saw it a little bit in this episode. Is this something we'll see throughout the season? A lot of wedding stuff. And I also have a feeling, I'll let you answer first, but I have a feeling on your views with whether or not she's allowed to come into a co-owned house or not. But go ahead and answer the first part of that.
So my mom is my mom. She beats to her own drum. She's her own woman and she's very opinionated. She's loud. And I can't knock her for it because I don't like to admit it, but I'm so much like her. And I kind of have to let her do her own thing. We're going to butt heads. We're going to disagree. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is she's my mom. She's my biggest supporter. She is my cheerleader. And she's always there for me, even if, you know, we're fighting all the way to the end. She's always there for me. So I have to respect her for that.
Your skin looks beautiful. Are you wearing Every Hue Beauty?
Lies.
Yeah.
You don't. What? Why not? Let's tell us. You no. No good.
Thank you, Ronnie Jr. No, I. This is tell so. Us. As a pageant girl, you spend a lot of time sort of perfecting your own makeup routine. So this is the Candace Dillard MUA situation. I'm wearing Stila Mac, a culmination of other crazy things.
You look good. You look wonderful and intelligent, and we love that part. I just don't understand. If it was me coming into the season, I would have wanted my alliance to be with Giselle. So it's really funny how I think we're not going to have that with you, if that's what you're alluding to. Is that what you're alluding to?
Well, you know, I...
She's the queen bee of the show.
The details, darling. I want to leave the details for the show. But Giselle is, number one, I am so happy and proud of her for getting Every Hue into Target. That is like bomb.com. Mm-hmm. That's black girl magic and girl bossing all day. So right. I respect her for her business acumen, and I respect her for setting a goal for herself and then accomplishing it, especially having three young girls in her house that are looking up to her. But Giselle and I both have strong personalities, and we both think that we are queen bees. I am a queen bee. Giselle thinks she's a queen bee.
Oh, she's a queen bee. She's definitely a queen bee.
I know you're a fan.
Right? You could be a queen bee. I'm not taking that away from you, but let's be sure that we note that she's definitely the queen bee.
Or something. Yes, she is.
As you can see, I'm the only girl on the show, and I have this short hair. Please tell us about your hairline. I'm so interested in it.
Yes, so Prima Hair Collection by Candace Dillard. Mm-hmm. We're doing here. You can find us at PrimaHairCollection.com. We've already gotten a lot of great response from viewers on the show. The website has crashed 2 times from all of the traffic we've gotten. So that is a huge blessing. So I started Prima Hair Collection about 2 years ago with my mom and my sister.
Okay.
And it sort of was born out of my pageant background as Miss United States. Mm-hmm. That was a conversation on the last After Buzz.
Oh, we're going to get to that, because I want you to clarify some things about that,
yes,
too.
Yes, please clarify.
Because I felt like...
Yeah, so Prima Hair Collection is really my take on a woman's individual standard of beauty.
Right.
Because in the pageant world, you've seen, there are so many different facets of pageantry, and women can be mean. Yeah. And I think part of my journey and my calling as a pageant girl and a pageant consultant and now a purveyor of beauty and all those things is to help women to curate their own standard of beauty. And that's what Prima is about. And that's what I hope to continue to push as we grow this hairline.
Beautiful.
That's great. You sell it well, too.
You have a way.
It's the pageantry or whatever it is. Like every time we see you in a confessional, we're always like home run after home run like that. Yeah. You win in that confessional. Yeah. I tell you.
I want to know more about the sort of the distinction between in the pageant world, because I felt like, and I don't know if you sensed this, but I think we sort of felt like there was some shade coming from Ashley.
Yeah.
You look,
as it was clapping.
There was shade. No,
okay.
So, and it's funny because it's so funny because the mean girl thing is so tired.
Like, it is.
You look tired. Yeah. And I love Ashley. You look weary. You look
down.
Doing all this hater racing. Like, save it. So, Miss United States is a separate pageant from Miss USA, which is also separate from Miss America.
Right.
They are all successful and prosperous pageants in their own right. Miss America is the oldest, and then Miss USA. And Miss United States was founded in 1986. The funny thing is about what Ashley said. She said in that scene where her and Monique were sitting by the pool, she says something about Monique winning the swimsuit competition at Miss Maryland USA. I competed at Miss Maryland USA twice.
Okay.
And while Monique did win the swimsuit award, and this is no shade to Monique, the swimsuit award goes to non-finalists. She was top 15 both times she competed, she being me. So the shade like went over my head because I won.
Right.
I have a there national title.
Right. There you go.
Right.
Ashley did a wonderful job clapping at Miss America.
Well, yes, I was going to ask you about the clapper comment because I read it in your blog.
Yeah, so a clapper, this is a colloquial term in the pageant world. A clapper is someone who so there are several phases of a pageant. You have your evening gown, swimwear, and interview. Interview is private. Swim and evening gown are on stage. Okay. After you've competed in all three phases, they break it into a top 15. So you go from whatever number, maybe it's 50 girls, go from 50 to 15, and then from 15 to 5. And once you get into the 5 or even into the 15, the girls who are left standing yet in the back are
standing. Back. Standing in the back. Love it. Come on with the tone.
Yeah. And Ashley was clapping while she was wearing the crown.
And there we have it.
There we have it.
So I want to switch gears really quickly. I want to tell us about how you and Chris met.
Oh, Chris. Chris actually he just got home from work.
That's your boyfriend?
Honey, do you see this?
Honey, come on, well, say what you gotta say.
He's my husband, aka fiance. That is Chris. So Chris and I met at a restaurant in DC. His restaurant is in Old Town. We met in a restaurant in DC. At the time, he was a manager and I was a host. Mm. I eventually was promoted to assistant marketing and finance director, and Chris was still an assistant manager. From there, we were just friends for a really long time because at the time I had standards for my life, and my standards did not include a man who was divorced and had children. Right. That's not what I wanted.
Not to mention your mother wasn't really kind of filling him as well, right?
Well, my mom didn't know him then, but she had standards for me as well, and her standards include me marrying a black doctor.
Black doctor, yep.
Who is rolling in the dough and making it rain on everybody in the community. That's what she wanted for me. But she didn't know Chris at the time. I purposely did not present Chris to her until I knew that he was the one that I wanted. So Chris and I were just friends for 2.5-3 years. We would hang out in groups. We would, you know, talk on the phone, but just as friends. And it wasn't until we worked together a second time at another hotel in DC that we started to kind of see a different side of each other. Mm-hmm. And he started flirting with me, child. He was flirting with me, is what I say. He claims he was not, but I know that he was. And at the time, I was launching my pageant consulting firm, Candace Dillard Pageant Consulting, and he had been just around when I was preparing to launch the company. So he wanted to take me out to celebrate the launch of my business. I'm thinking we're going to go have drinks at some restaurant. And he makes a reservation at this like really nice white tablecloth, $30 plate restaurant. And I'm like, wait, is this a date? Are we going on a date? What's going on? Is this a date? And from there, it kind of escalated into more of a or less of a platonic situation.
Okay.
And the rest is kind of history. And then, you know, we dated for a year and he knew all along that, you know, the goal is always to press toward the marriage with the diamond that I should be dragging. And he came through. And Chris is really, he's really my best friend. And I attribute us being friends first to that.
Yeah.
I would not have entertain Chris if I didn't get to know him first.
Yeah.
To know him first. And this is advice to all women. Mm-hmm. Give him a chance. If he's got all his teeth, if he has a job, give him a chance.
No, I agree with you.
No, don't count him out. And that's not to say that you should be entertaining bums.
Right.
But it's very, it's a thing I feel like in the black community for women to thwart and push off men who aren't their ideal
girl.
Mate.
Yes. Yes,
and it's
absolutely
a thing that blocks a lot of blessings. Yep. I have a quote on my refrigerator that says, "Procrastination is the thief of blessings," but being too demanding in your requests is also a thief of blessings. So you have to be open and willing to seek out a man, a person for who they really are. And I got to know Chris, and that's what made us work. And now he's my biffle.
Can I ask you about the wedding plans, like what type of stress that causes? And I also want to know, now that you're unveiling your life to all of these people, are we going to see, you know, your role as, I guess, would be stepmother? You know what I mean? Like, how I want to know how that goes. Are you good with the other women? Kind of take us on that little journey for a minute, because I'm sure it's going to be on the show.
Yes. So wedding planning is, so I just posted on Instagram the other day, don't ask me about wedding planning or I'm going to beat you to death with my guest list. So DJ Sky, I need to like whip you with my guest list. Wedding planning is not what I expected. It's, and you hear about the stress, you hear about all of the drama, and I have a lot of friends who've gotten married and they always say, oh, you should have just eloped. I wish we had eloped. And I would always say, why would you want to elope? This is the grandest day of your life. Mm. Like you're beat to the gods. Why would you want to elope?
Right.
And now I get it. It's like, there are so many opinions. Everybody thinks that they are entitled to, you know, the best seat in the room. Everybody wants to be invited. It's so expensive. And there's pressure. And there's pressure for me, I think, that comes from the pageant industry, because I've led this sort of glamorous lifestyle with the evening gowns and the makeup and the hair. So everybody expects you to have this grandiose situation of a wedding. And it's like, oh my God, I want to rise to the occasion, but can I rise to the occasion? So that was hard to deal with. We're pressing our way through though. I have my dress. It's the dress that I wanted,
okay. Not
what my mother wanted, just for the class and for the kids. And I'm like, my gown literally is the highlight of this whole experience for me. It's being made by a designer named Karen Sabag. Mm. She's on Long Island, and she totally got my vision. And every time I go for a fitting, I'm in awe of the way that I know I'm going to look on my special day. And Chris is going to love it. So that is the highlight. Okay. But everything else can just fall by the wayside, child, because it's a lot.
So when are you getting married? And is Dorothy going to be walking you down the aisle? Because that seems like something that is upsetting you. Am I correct when I say that?
Yes. So my mother, the jury is still out on who's walking me. So I have, my parents are divorced and they're both remarried. So I have a serious blended family situation going on. I have a stepdad who really helped to raise me, and I'm very close to him. And my stepmom is also a big part of my life. So including my parents, all of them in my wedding, is a huge thing. I was always kind of apprehensive, like from very early on, like 16 years old, planning my wedding in my head as a Southern Belle. Who's going to walk me down the aisle? And I don't know. Like, I'm still kind of trying to figure out, you know, my dad is my father and he's been supportive and been there for me. And I'm a daddy's girl. So yeah. Of course I want my dad to walk me, but then my stepdad, Ronnie, is also a huge part of my life. I've known him since I was like 3 years old and I can't count him out. But then my mom is also a huge supporter and has always been there for me. And, you know, she's the reason that you have this mess in front of you today. Like I can't not honor my mother in some way in this journey. And then my mom is paying for most of the wedding. Chris right. and I are paying for a significant portion, but my mother is paying for most of the wedding. Mm-hmm. And so I Got have it. To honor her, one, because she's my mother and because she has been so instrumental in my life, but also because she's writing the check. So I can't, you know, I'm
Respect,
stuck.
In a yeah. Okay.
I have like 4 months to figure it out though. So please pray for me in your closet. And then you asked me something. Oh, this stepkid thing. So I think part of the divine intervention with Chris and I is that we both came from blended families. My parents are both married and divorced. Chris's situation. His parents are married, divorced, remarried, divorced. He's got step siblings and half siblings. And it's just a whole huge mashup of loving family.
Wow.
And I think that is what drew me to him, in addition to other things, because he understood my situation. And so knowing that he had kids, it was like, okay, this is not really what I wanted, but okay, God, I can deal with this because you're giving it to me and it's wrapped up in this blessing of a man that loves me and cares for me and supports me. So I'll work with it. And that's what I did. And I love, love, love my bonus children. That's what I call them, my bonus kids. They are 15, 5, and 8. and you'll see more about them on the show and sort of the status of the relationships. But we spend a lot of time with the kids. We were just in Florida for spring break with the kids. And they're great. They're young. And I think when I met my step parents, I was about their age. Mm-hmm. So I can identify with them and where they are in kind of maneuvering through this step mom situation. So we're working it out and we're figuring it out.
Very nice. Quick question. What was your reaction when you saw Chris dive off of that banister and into that pool?
Okay, so the main question everybody kept asking me was, girl, did you know he was gonna do that? Did you have any idea? And hell no. Like, we were literally about to leave. I thought we were getting ready to go. And we were like, everything was about to, you know, come down. They were about to like turn everything off. And I'm like, okay, I'm just inside kikiing and chatting and getting my life together. And Ashley's like, girl, I think your husband is stepping in the pool. And I was like, what you mean? And I come outside and this fool is in his drawers. And literally we had a conversation before this party. And I said, these are new people. We're getting to know new people. I need you to act like you were raised. Not in a barn, but in a house. Like, you have cooth. Have some cooth about yourself. Chris likes to have a good time. And he's a fun-loving, energetic, really facetious person. And we like to have fun.
Yeah.
So I knew he was going to have a good time. And Chris and Hank, Monique's cousin, had sort of become good friends earlier in the filming realm. And so I knew Chris was excited to hang out with Hank. And I was, you know, doing my thing. So when he says to me, and he says this in scene, Chris, can you just hold my phone for a minute? And I'm like, for what? Like, if I need to find you, where are you going to be? And he just gives me the phone and runs off. And I had no idea that he was planning to be in his skivvies and backflipping off of people's balcony. We are in people's homes. This is somebody's home. We are not in our house.
Right.
And I will say this, though, because Ronnie, you had some things to say.
Oh, tell me what you think. You can say whatever you want.
Yes. So I know that we can talk. Because, like, you give me good vibes. You give me good energy.
Right. And we gassed you up quite a bit. But I don't know what's bugging you. But you could tell me.
Yes. So what did you say? When you said that Chris jumping off the balcony sort of was reminiscent of him being thirsty or trying too hard, I have to debunk those myths.
It's not a myth. It's a Ronnie Jr. opinion.
Those are myths. Let me just edify you really quickly. So Chris, yes, I could see why you might think that, but Chris would have done that if we were at Monique and Chris's house, if we were at our home, if we were at his parents' home, if we were at his brother's home, if we were at my parents' home. Chris is authentically Chris all the time. And I just don't want there to be a narrative out in the universe that is speaking thirst vibes on my husband, because it's not thirst. Chris right. is just Chris. And for better or worse, he's going to be him. And if that means he's jumping in pools in his drawers at somebody's house, that's what he's going to do.
Well, I think the most important thing we want to know is next episode, we're going to start hearing about Chris and his brown penis. So that's something we could dive into later on. We'll talk what? Another time. So I understand why he's your catch. But let me say, the thing about it is when we do this after show, we react to what is being seen. And at the same time, he read thirsty to me. And I'm going to stand by that. But that doesn't mean it has to be your truth. And that's what's beautiful about this after show.
Yes, the facts are facts. And facts are Chris is far from thirsty. He is quite quenched in the thirst.
There you have it. Candace, before we go, you have been amazing. Thank you so much for stopping
Thank
by.
Thank you so much.
This is so fun. Yay. I wish I could see you. Come that would have made it a lot.
Visit
more.
Us.
I know. You got to rewatch it back afterwards.
You got to
do that. But I have one final question for you because on Thursday, we're going to have Giselle on the show to interview. And we thought it would be fun if you asked her a question and then she could respond. It doesn't have to be anything shady. I just want to put that out there. But just a fun little game that we want to play when we have other housewives on the show.
You're so nice, Richie. You're nicer than me. What the heck?
oh, what? So what? Like, what's the real tea? Like, what is it supposed to
be? So you can just ask Giselle the question, maybe something about the episode or about her beauty products or anything. Anything you want to ask. And then she has to answer you.
Okay. What could I ask her? Okay, I would love to know, because she talked quite a bit about her vaginal walls.
Lord.
and the way that Sherman is just, he's all
knocking
up,
them
all,
down.
Up in, all up in the mix. So how is that? Is Sherman still satiating the situation?
Now I want to know about that too.
It's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Candace. you just gave us our entire lives with that question.
Look, I do what I can.
We want to thank you so much for stopping by tonight. You are amazing, amazing, amazing.
I agree.
Tell us where we can find you on social media and all of your endeavors.
Yes, so I can be found on Instagram at Candy Gal, CandyGal 09. On Twitter at Candy Gal. You can also contact me at PrimaHairCollection.com. And I can be found on Facebook at Candace Dillard Pageant Consulting.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Candace. And we can't wait to see more of you this season. And hopefully, if you get a chance, you'll stop back by the show.
Come visit Candace.
Come see us.
Yes, awesome, I would love to anytime. I actually lived in Burbank. You all are in Burbank, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I interned for NBC, KNBC in Burbank years ago, and those are my old stomping grounds.
Oh, so yeah, come on through.
In Lala at some point, I'd love to come.
There we go. We got you part of the family now. So as these episodes go, let's stay in touch with her and let's build from here. Yes. Candace, thank you, sweetie. And thanks for being so honest and kind of like expressing yourself. That's number one. That's what this show's about. So.
That's what I do.
Bye.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, so that was Candace Dillard.
Candace Dillard.
What'd you guys think of Candace?
I love her.
She's doing exactly what we say. Is that confessional? Like, she knows how to do that aspect better than anything. So
Yeah. I was excited. I mean, she gave some good answers to some very intriguing questions tonight.
Yeah. Right?
It was
super authentic.
Super authentic, and I feel like she was a good sport. She played along, and
that
question I was not expecting for Giselle.
Oh, your Q&A, yeah.
So that'll be a fun little game, and
right.
You know, hopefully we can keep that going.
And I'm curious to know the answer, honey.
So let's get into a little bit of news and gossip, if we can.
Welcome to
news
something.
And gossip. There goes
AfterBuzz TV News.
Wrong soundboard.
We had a special guest. It makes sense to switch it up.
So, who caught Giselle on Watch What Happens Live last night?
Of course I did.
Can you give us a little rundown? Was there any highlights from that?
Actually, she played it very relaxed.
Safe.
Yeah. Well, it's Momo was a no-no, so of course she's not going to go further with Monique, which... You know, that is a concrete thing. Really, she's just amped about her target situation.
Yeah, as she should be.
And she just lit up the room, as she always does, with the other guests. And,
as she does.
Yeah, so it was good.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything, like, spectacular. There wasn't the Charisse Digg type thing. There wasn't that. No.
Because that one was a...
No, Giselle was playing what I like to call intelligent and unbothered. So that was kind of what was happening.
Okay.
And Andy ate it up. Everyone did, actually.
I'm here for that.
I'm bummed. I mean, and I told Candace this. I'm bummed that she doesn't link with Giselle. To me, that would be my dream team. Because I do like Candace a lot, but obviously Giselle's my number one.
I always think it's fun when Giselle has somebody to spar with.
Yeah, but Giselle is the queen, and Candace,
here
as much
we
as
go.
We love her,
but here's
she's
the thing,
still
though.
New, and it's...
I love Giselle, too, but I'm saying, like, you know, if you're going to be the queen, you always got to fight for that throne.
That's right.
Somebody's always going to be coming
That's
to get
right.
It.
The second place is already Karen, though. So you'd have to go through Karen,
That's
too.
Your opinion, baby.
Hi, baby.
Baby.
Look at Nigeria hitting me with the baby talk.
I love it.
Where did you
I
come
love
from?
It. You know, this show gets spicier and spicier every week, and I'm here for it. So I want to talk predictions really quickly before we go.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Now, we didn't break down a lot of the episode today, but I mean, we definitely touched on the highlights, I think, when we talked earlier at the top of the show about what our thoughts were. We didn't really get into that whole big blow up with at the round table, the garden party with Robin and the other girls.
The book reading, yeah.
Do we think that that's all settled?
No.
Any predictions with that?
You can give your prediction, but I'm just saying no first.
Oh, okay. Hi, Nigeria. How are you, baby? I think it's done to a degree. Yeah. I think Robin hit her breaking point because when Robin starts going from angry to sad, I think we saw more sad. You know, when Robin goes in three emotions, she's emotional and then she gets pissed. Today she looked really like sad and like threw in the towel. Like, yeah. So I hope it's over. Yeah.
I don't think it's done in a way where I feel like there's healing. So there may be more conversations, but they may not be because she did have a breaking point.
Yeah.
She got to that point. So now where can you go from here?
Yeah.
You can't just explode. So now there's a conversation that still needs to be had.
I felt for Robin in both instances. Both instances, I kind of sided with her. And I like that Ashley apologized to her, too. I thought that was healthy.
We were all waiting for that apology because I totally felt like she was completely out of line. Out of line.
I feel like Ashley typically takes it too far with
Robin. With her opinions and,
Particularly with the stuff with Juan. I mean, that's just so... When somebody cheats on you, it's already hard enough.
Exactly.
You know, you already feel devalued and demoralized. Yeah. So to throw that in someone's face as a way of showing your concern is, to me,
and it sounds like you're kicking someone when they're down. It sounds like, I already feel, you know, like crap. I don't need to hear it from you that I am crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it looks like next week, Candace finally gets in the mix with the rest of the ladies. How do we think that's going to go?
And she hasn't met them yet
in
this part of the show.
So far, it seems like she hasn't met Giselle or Charisse, which I guess we're going to see how that goes.
Charisse was okay in this episode again. This is the second time I've been like, wow, Charisse is low-key doing all right.
You know what?
She was all right.
It's so funny.
I feel the same way.
And I hate to say this, but I like her more.
Thank you.
Now.
I do too.
Than I did when she was on the show. And I don't know if it's because she has a more relaxed presence.
It is.
Or it just feels like she feels freer. I don't know.
I do think there's a certain pressure. And then, you know, Candace touched on social media, how hard they are on these women. And that's the part I don't like. Objective criticism, I don't mind.
Right.
But the just nastiness. And I will say, of what I remember, you guys can refresh all of our memories. Didn't Charisse really go through it? Didn't they really attack her looks? And I think it was hard for her to bring it that second season, just on an emotion alone. The husband divorce. So I think you make sense that the pressure is gone.
Yeah.
Now she's just living, you know, in and out.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I hope that she's still with us throughout the rest of the season in a major minor way.
In that laid back way where she can give her two piece and then step back.
Because I like Charisse because we also share a birthday. Boom.
Oh, okay.
But
what day is that?
July 16th.
Cancer.
Yep. Mm. Any other predictions before we go?
Well, obviously, I predict that Candace is going to prove everyone wrong about her man. I predict that.
It's true. I understand what you're saying. But I think they all kind of lay into Candace next episode. It's aspects of who's doing the bill pay, this, that, and the other, and who's the mother and where she stands, too.
Lord.
So it's her
the
welcoming.
Brown penis.
Yeah, it's her welcoming committee.
Well, that concludes our show this week, you guys. We got lots more for you guys coming up. Our interview with Giselle is happening this week, and then we'll be back next week for another brand new episode of Real Housewives of Potomac. I'm your boy, DJ Richie Sky. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at DJ Richie Sky.
Hey, Randomly Ronnie Jr., that's my social.
Hey, everyone, and you can find me on all social media at Nigeria.Manal.
There you go. You guys be sure to rate, comment, share, and keep on supporting us. Keep tweeting, keep loving us. We're going to keep coming back every week and giving you the tea and the shade like only we can. We'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.